Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here with you. My name's Richard Barter, and it's fantastic to be sharing with you in this Grey Power Senior Focus slot. And as is normally the case, I'm talking about issues around transport and the things that kind of strike me from day to day. I've been working on a paper that I'll be giving in a couple of weeks and then again overseas. And the focus of this is on really, if we are positive when we go out onto the road, if we want to engage people, things go well for us, and the opposite happens. So we're going to be looking a little bit at the impact of negative emotions. We're going to be looking, this is particularly the interaction today, we're talking about the interaction between cyclists and drivers. We're going to be looking at some of the things that go on in people's minds, tensions. We'll look at the positive emotions. We'll look at some of the barriers to being visible, which include the way our roads are designed and other external kind of features. And finally, what are some of the things we can do to make a difference when we're out there and want to have a good time? And as usual, we're going to hear a couple of my favourite tracks from Sarah Vaughan. But I'm going to start with a little story. Now, this story is a true story, and I'm going to read it again at the end of our time together, but put a different spin on it, and I hope that that different spin will take on board the things that we've discussed and talked about today. So here we go. The night was clear. The traffic was becoming intense. The long hours I'd spent at the office had taken a toll on my focus. What was that angry outburst from my colleague all about anyway? Then it all started. The lane was not wide enough for a vehicle to pass me on my bicycle, so I rode in the middle so they wouldn't try. However, this must have upset the driver behind me, the bus driver behind me, because she was about a 1 metre back, revving her engine. I was terrified. She had a problem, and I didn't know what to do. As soon as there was a bit of a gap in the oncoming traffic, she roared past, leaving 30 centimetres between us. I clung on for dear life, trying not to wobble as the full 13 metres of the bus finally went past before she swerved across in front of me into a bus stop. I was shocked. I banged on the side of the vehicle when I went past and shouted, "Leave more space next time!" I was just starting to settle down and caught completely unawares again as she came past me at high speed. The side of the bus closed in as she squeezed by the traffic island in the middle of the road. There was just nowhere to go. Well, how does that make you feel? Probably most cyclists could tell you a similar story. And it might make you feel a little bit anxious about bus drivers, and this one particularly had an anger problem. In such situation, everyone misses out. You know, everyone is affected by trauma, whether or not there's an actual crash or just a big fright. The problem, experiencing negative emotions such as anxiety, anger, and fear, they may help us to deal with danger and emergencies. However, they're not appropriate for negotiating challenging traffic conflicts, as these emotions trigger response tendencies which are all about either fighting or running away, or even worse, maybe freezing. And, of course, it's no good when managing complex traffic situations. You know, crocodiles, they only have one choice, and that's to fight. Rabbits, they can pretty much only run away or freeze when danger is perceived. But as very advanced animals, human beings, we have other options available to us. And there's this theory called the polyvagal theory, which suggests these other options could include social engagement. And this allows us to respond more reasonably in dangerous situations. It allows us to negotiate with others using facial expressions and changes of voice tone. So if we get cornered, then we can smile. We can perhaps raise our voice a little bit and be more engaging. Not an easy thing to do in the situation I described with the bus right on my tail, and a lot of those things just can't happen. I couldn't outrun the bus. Yelling at the driver didn't help. Now we've got, as we've talked about before, more and more people who are choosing to ride, and we know that there are more and more cars coming on our roads. So these interactions between those who ride and those who drive are going to become potentially more stressed because of the increased congestion. And instead of feeling like there's nothing we can do and there's a problem, what I'd like to suggest is that there are things that we can do about it, both as drivers and as cyclists. We're just going to look at some of the data out there. The New Zealand Transport Agency funded a survey recently which it determined that people by and large are positive to the idea of cycling. While half of people cycle, typically only 15% cycle regularly. So a lot of drivers do ride, and those that do tend to be a bit more positive about cyclists than those that don't. We do have a 25% of drivers who do hold negative attitudes towards cyclists, and that's something that cyclists need to know. Now, when, and out of this report, it was shown that when people are asked to describe cyclists, quite a large percentage of them will picture what we call the mammal, the middle-aged man in Lycra. Even though they make up only 5 or 6% of all of those who cycle. And when they're asked to recall a negative incident, it'll tend to be with that group. Again, even though they make up a very small percentage of the cyclists they're likely to meet on the road. And that incident tends to stick in people's minds. And unfortunately, the emotions that surfaced out of that incident will often surface again when they encounter other cyclists. And that's not great for cyclists, because while many of us, most of us, like to think we're out there doing the right thing, we need to know that people are getting out on the road in their cars with the intention of doing the right thing, but when they encounter a cyclist, some of these emotions will often come to the surface again, which is tough. Hey, just to lighten the story a little at the moment, let's listen to Sarah Vaughan singing that wonderful, wonderful song, probably one of my favourites of all times, called My Funny Valentine.
Valentine, you made Is your mouth a little weak when you open it to speak? Are you smart? But don't change your hair for me. Not if you care for me. Stay, little Valentine. Stay. Each day is Valentine's. Stay there.
Isn't that lovely? My Funny Valentine by Sarah Vaughan. So we were just talking about some of the tensions between motorists and cyclists, how one bad encounter can affect one's judgment of all. Now, for cyclists, there are other problems out there. The roads that we ride on are actually designed for cars, and many of them don't provide drivers with those cues, with those kind of instructions. And I'm not talking about signs here, I'm talking about the roads themselves, about what to do when they meet a cyclist. And this creates confusion, and in fact this creates a lot of the crashes and the near misses which seem to get so much publicity. The other issue is that one of duty of care. We'd like to think that when we go out of our house at the beginning of the day, we don't want to hurt people. We don't want to cause harm or distress or even more injury. But there are some things that have happened in the past in terms of the relationship between those who drive cars and those who ride bicycles that have actually shifted that duty of care. And one of those, and we've talked about this in the past, is the mandatory requirement for cyclists to wear helmets. Now, I wear a helmet every day. I wore a helmet here this morning when I rode here. But the problem is in mandating the use of a helmet. In some people's view, shifts that duty of care from everybody to the cyclist. And this is a problem. This is a problem because in doing that, it is possible for other road users to feel less responsible. So this is a bit of a challenge to us all, isn't it? We know what the right thing is to do, but we're talking about the things that pop up when we have to make split-second decisions. Okay, now, negative emotions, unfortunately, they narrow our senses. They shut down our ability to think creatively, to look for solutions to a problem, and can, if we talk about that fight response, can bring out aggression in order to manage the situation. Whereas positive emotions, they broaden our senses. We see opportunities out there. We're more prepared to forgive, to look for, well, this has happened, but why has this happened? What was that person's going through, and how can I kind of make a different ending to this story? So for the rest of this talk, we're going to look at some of those factors that actually can change that narrative, change that story that you heard at the beginning of the of our talk together. But before we do that, we're going to listen to another song by Sarah Vaughan, another one of my favourites. This is called Lullaby of Birdland.
Lullaby of Birdland, that's what I always hear when you sigh. Never in my wordland could there be ways to reveal in a phrase how I feel. Have you ever heard two turtle doves, bill and coo, when they love? That's the kind of magic music we make with our lips when we kiss. And there's a weepy old willow, he really knows how to cry. That's how I'd cry on my pillow if you should tell me farewell and goodbye. Lullaby of birdland, whisper low, kiss me sweet and we'll go flying high in birdland, high in the sky up above, all because we're in love.
Isn't that gorgeous? Lullaby of Birdland by Sarah Vaughan. Okay, it's all sounded a little bit grim up until now, but there's good news. Of course, there are other distractions, other problems that drivers face. My work, a lot of that's involved with heavy vehicles, and heavy vehicle drivers face added challenges in being able to see because their vehicles are very large. They're sitting up very high. They have limited view out their mirrors. They can't see directly behind them. If cyclists understand this, they will know how to be safe when they're riding around heavy vehicles. And of course, cyclists need to be able to control their bike. They need to be able to go where they want and when they want, which means perhaps riding a bit slower sometimes. It definitely means riding free of distractions. How many people do we see with earphones and things in their ears? Free of impairment and stress. These things are, in turn, they affect drivers in the same way. And these are things that if we set out with doing the right thing, we're going to have a better time out there. So what is it about this positive psychology idea? We've discussed the fact that in the past that motorists often don't see cyclists. In fact, motorists don't see 1 in 5 cyclists. And there's a number of reasons for that. And one of them is visual acuity, and I may have talked about this before. Normally we can only see about 3% of the visual field in front of us in high visual acuity. In other words, it's sharply in focus. Everything else is, to a greater degree, blurred, and that's what we see in our peripheral vision. And this is actually exacerbated by speed. And so the faster we go, the more or the less we actually see clearly. And of course there are other things that affect what we can see driving. Sunstrike, rain, mists, low light, lights coming the other way, all of these things. Now, if cyclists understand this, they will be able to take this into account. They'll be able to ride in the right place on the roads. Often it'll mean a bit further out into the lane. They'll be able to wear bright or contrasting clothing using bright lights. They'll ride in areas which motorists are most likely to be looking. And so at an intersection, probably the best place to be is right in front of the driver, in the middle of the lane, sometimes going into roundabouts. If you're right in the middle of the lane, you're much more likely to be seen, and don't forget to smile and wave as you go past. And that is very, very key in what we're going to talk about. Now, if we make, and all of these things we're talking about today are things that I have put into practice myself. I'm not saying that I'm always successful. I do get frights as I ride around daily around Auckland. But all of these things I've tried, and I've experienced as I'm riding down the road, I hear a vehicle coming behind me, I turn, I look, I engage with that driver, and I will, particularly in heavy vehicles where getting past is not difficult, it's not easy, I will give them the thumbs up, and then we begin the process together on making that passing manoeuvre rather than just putting my head down and ceasing to be a person but just becoming a cyclist with all of the negative connotations that tend to go with that term. We have to acknowledge as people who ride that, again, the way roads are laid out can often send the message to those driving that this is about cars and not about cycling or cyclists, so perhaps you shouldn't be there. And we certainly do say to cyclists, choosing safe routes is one of the things that we can do to be in control of what's going on in the road. There are many things we can't control. We often can't control the way our vehicle's designed. Some of us who buy our own vehicles may be able to make some choices depending on our budget. We'd have very little control over the road layout. And most importantly, we have very little control over other road users' behaviour. But there are things that we can control. We can control our vehicle or our bicycle. And most importantly, we can control how we respond to others that we share the road with. And so when something happens which is not nice, we can either respond, as you heard me talk about in the first little story, banged on the side of the bus out of, I was just shocked and I'm not proud of that response, but I shouted, leave more space next time. Or we can respond positively. We can be determined not to let that be the end of the story and seek to find a better outcome. So one of the most important things, of course, in order to do that is to understand about the people that we're sharing the road with. And as I said earlier, if we know where those blind zones are around trucks, if we know that there are many obstacles to drivers being able to see us, lack of sunlight, weather, all of those things, we can do a lot to offset the risks that they pose. And most importantly, if we positively engage those around us, we are much more likely to have a good interaction with those others that we're sharing the road with. So, what do you think? Do you think it's possible? Are you a glass full or a glass half empty person? Some things we know. We know that because of past incidents, quite a lot of people have negative feelings about other road users, and they tend to classify them in tribes, irrespective of how much of a problem that actually is. We talked about the mammals, the men in Lycra in groups. There tends to be a negative feeling towards that group, even though they actually don't cause as much problem as we might think. We know that there are very real restrictions on what drivers can see. All sorts of things are working against us. We know that there are problems with the way our roads are designed. Let's think about ways that we can offset that. And we can, as drivers, it's just as important that we go out each day with a positive frame of mind. So the goal I'm talking about here would be to create a traffic community who watch and reach out for each other, truly share the road, and facilitate that development of positive emotions, which will help us see other people's perspective, leading to increased understanding and forgiveness. Remember, those positive emotions open our eyes and they enable us to see good things. So let's just finish that story now. The night was clear, a nice soft breeze. As I was riding, I heard the bus coming behind me. I actually turned around and nodded and waved and smiled to the driver. She nodded back, looking surprised, and slowed down and gave me more room. And this gave me the opportunity to spot along the side of the road a no parking area where I was able to pull over and let the bus past. She went past, waved and smiled. I headed on home feeling great. Now, it's a different way of looking at that story, isn't it? I hope that when you head out onto the road today, that you might be able to do that feeling positive and being willing to engage positively with others that you're roading, sharing the road with. Hey, thank you very much for the time together. Looking forward to seeing you next month. Bye-bye for now. Richard Barter.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/SeniorFocus. And do note, Senior Focus is